You know, when I was doing promotion planning for Armor hot dogs and bacon and canned hams and the like, I convinced our struggling Felser frozen steak mail order business to do what Harry and David did. Who are Harry and David? Well, they're one of the world's largest and oldest mail order companies, who since 1934 have offered what they call their Fruit of the Month Club, where for a single price, you can be mailed a premium high-quality fruit each month of the year, like their brand Royal Riviera pears, honey mangoes, Caracara oranges. And so, even though Hickory Farms now owns Felser Brothers mail order frozen steaks today, they still offer a Meat of the Month Club, where for a single price, you can gift family, friends, your pastor, a different cut of premium quality meat delivered right to their home each month of the year as a gift that keeps on giving all year long. And that's a good way to view the gift that God has given us in his manger-born Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ. Because when people accept Jesus, they gain more than just a Redeemer who guarantees they'll go to heaven when they pass away. In Christ, the world has received so much more. And that's something we learned from the passage that was read earlier from John chapter 14. A passage in which Jesus is trying to prepare and comfort his disciples for his coming departure, to go to the cross, and beyond that, for his going to be in heaven. When he tells them he's going to ask his Father to send them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit through whom Christ gives you the gift of a personal relationship with him and through him with God himself. Because when Jesus promised his disciples to give them another advocate, some versions of scripture say counselor or encourager. Well, he further identifies that person as being the Holy Spirit in verse 17, who would not only be with them, but in them. So according to verse 18, Jesus' followers would never feel like orphans. They'd never feel like they'd been abandoned or left alone. Said in the reverse, they'd feel like he was always with them. Through him, that God was always with them as well. Going back to verse 16, and Jesus said he would ask his Father to send the Holy Spirit. According to verse 20, as both the very presence of Christ and God himself in their lives. That's a promise that again shows how God exists as a Trinity. It's a single God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we proclaim when we sing that traditional hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. But just as the Father in heaven is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, which in turn means you can effectively pray to Jesus or pray to the Holy Spirit as you can to God in heaven when we pray our Father who is in heaven. But note, Jesus never referred in this passage to the Holy Spirit as it, always as he, showing the Holy Spirit is a person, not some type of power from God, not some type of impersonal force. But according to various scriptures in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a will. He can desire things. He has emotions. As it said, no one should want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And just as the New Testament credits Jesus with creation in the New Testament, well, Genesis credits God, and in Genesis 1:2, well, the Holy Spirit's in on the action too as he hovers over the event. And according to Acts 5:3-5, when somebody lies to the Spirit, it's just like he's lying to God himself. Since God the Father, God the Spirit are one, And that's a state of existence that God has enjoyed eternally. That's beyond our ability to understand. Every bit as much a mystery of the faith as how Jesus was born of a virgin, or how Jesus can be both fully God, so that the sacrifice of his life was perfect, and fully man, so that he could die on the cross. But we know when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in a believer, his presence makes the believer's relationship with God personal. Personal. Kind of relationship that wasn't available in the times of the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit is just said to come upon a person or to fall upon a person. So it wasn't possible into the New Testament until Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers. And the Holy Spirit comes to be in the person, as I said. The way Ephesians 3, 16 to 19 says, the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of Christ, enters your life the moment you pray and accept God's gift of his Son, Jesus. A truth reflected in how we just sang, may my heart be your Bethlehem. Of inviting Jesus into our lives, of inviting him into our heart, that's where the expression comes from. And of course, another difference from the Old Testament in talking about the Holy Spirit and how things have changed through Christ is throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit is talked about as being powerful, mighty, wise, and guiding. But notice how Jesus describes him as holy. Some suggest because that's what matters most about the Spirit is his character. But others suggest it's more because of the impact the Holy Spirit has on our lives, the gift of the Spirit that keeps on giving. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, just as he is holy, set apart from the world, he causes the believer to be set apart as belonging to God, or better said, as a child of God. As in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Paul said, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee. He will give us the inheritance he promised and that he's purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we'd praise and glorify him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is who connects you to God. His presence in your life proves that you are saved. It guarantees you're going to heaven when you die. His presence, begging the question of whether others can recognize the Holy Spirit in you. Can they? Can they tell that something different about you than others that they know? That you're more loving, joyful, caring, compassionate, self-controlled? That the fruit of the Spirit are present in your life. Of course, this also explains why Jesus says the advocate he was sending would never leave them. It'd be a gift who keeps on giving, being with them forever. Since in the Greek, Paul's wording in Ephesians 1:13 suggests how the Holy Spirit marks, or better, seals the believer, showing that he belongs to God and no one had better tamper with him. Of course, Paul further suggests how the Holy Spirit is also God's gift of a very present helper in your life. A very present helper in your life. Truth reflected in how Jesus called him another advocate, a counselor, which is the Greek word for parakletos. Literally, a word that means to come alongside of. And it carries the sense, conveys the sense of a person coming alongside of a person to encourage that person to do more, to do better, to just endure, to keep on keeping on. In other words, the Holy Spirit's a benefactor of sorts whose presence gives those he comes alongside of the strength and energy needed to do whatever God calls that person to do. And in the sense of a counselor, that was a legal term, the Greek word, back in Jesus' day. It referred to anybody who, well, might have more education, might be more sophisticated, be able to speak up for another person in a trial or a dispute, to be a character witness. even to serve as the character witness. And though parakletos is translated comforter in the King James, the word conveys more sense of a being a loyal, good friend who provides good and practical everyday advice than someone who's a therapist, which fits the role Jesus said the Holy Spirit would play in the lives of his followers. In verse 26, where he said, "The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you," describing how the Holy Spirit always knows just what you need to know, when you need to know it, in whatever your particular situation is. He causes you to have it come to mind. At times, he cuts through the fog in your life so that you know how to apply what Jesus taught to your life and to your situation, suggesting that whenever you sense the Spirit guiding you to do something, whenever you sense the Spirit is helping you to discern what's right from what's wrong, it's actually Jesus guiding you. And more, it's actually God himself letting you know what he wants you to do or not do, whatever the situation is. A truth reinforced by how Jesus said he was sending another advocate. In other words, the Holy Spirit was to be his replacement. But who can replace God? No one but God himself. So in the Spirit, Christ is with his followers. Specifically, as Jesus had been their teacher, according to John 7:14 and John 13:13, he interceded, he served as their advocate in praying for his disciples, according to John 17, verse 9. "And my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me because they belong to you." Apostle John even described Jesus as being an advocate. 1 John 2:1, "I'm writing this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous." Again, showing how the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one, which is why, despite floating away on a cloud, Jesus could promise his followers in Matthew 28:20, "I will be with you always." As that's a prayer he fulfills in the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That reminds me of a radio pastor, Timothy Brown. You may have heard the story, he's proclaimed it several times, how he was visiting a young man who was dying of an unrelenting case of leukemia. The man was so weak he could barely speak. And Brown admits he really didn't know, what's he going to say to comfort this fellow? When the young man said, "You know, I've learned some things lying in this hospital bed." And Brown said, "Oh, what's that?" He wanted to keep the conversation going. "I've learned," he said, "that life is not like a VCR that you watch movies on." Well, Brown was perplexed. He said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "I've learned that you can't fast forward through the bad parts." And that young man was certainly going through a bad part. And the tears started coming to Brown's eyes. And again, he wondered, "What do I say?" When the young man whispered, "But I've learned more." And Brown said, "What's that?" He said, "Life may not be like a VCR where you can fast forward, but you have Jesus in every frame. And right now, that's enough." That's Jesus' promise, that he will be with us always in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's enough. No matter what happens in your life, as God's gift of grace, who never stops giving, he is your very present helper. All you need to do is open your heart to the Spirit's wisdom, his direction, his guiding, his leading. Have you? How often do you stop and ask God for direction in your life before you make a decision? Of course, Paul further said, God gifts of the Spirit is his gift of power as well. his gift of power. We didn't read it earlier, but if you go back to verse 12, John 14, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone believes in me, he'll do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. How is anybody to do greater works? Well, obviously, as you read on, it's through the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. The Holy Spirit, who is Christ, who is God himself, who would be in their lives. And this is a truth that's reinforced by how Jesus told his disciples before he floated up on the cloud into heaven in Acts 1:8. He told them they were to wait for power to come upon them. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be his witnesses, implying how the Spirit would give his disciples all the strength, all the energy, all the power they needed, not just to live their everyday lives, but to do the things God calls them to do, to serve him, to bring him glory. And in today's world, you see that. As a teacher who's Christian just somehow seems to have the ability to teach your students with excellence in a way that makes a positive influence on their lives. And you see it in the life of a Christian policeman who seems to have that godly patience when handling offenders. You see that in the life of a Christian parent who's striving to be like his Father in heaven, has the insight, the wisdom to parent well. How a Christian always tends to be a good neighbor, loving others as God loves him. Because when the Holy Spirit's present in your life, he gives you an unlimited quantity of God's power to live a life that's pleasing to him, a power that allows you to join God with where he's working to touch the lives of others. Where in a literal translation of Galatians 5, verse 25, Paul said, whenever you get in step with the Spirit, you have his power to live. Understandably, when God's the one supplying the power. You know, most everyone's heard of Laurence Olivier, famous actor. I looked it up. He did something like 70 movies in his lifetime, but beyond that, all kinds of stage productions, Broadway productions. Well, the story's told of one particular stage production in which he did a fantastic job. He was outstanding. It was one of his most brilliant, never-to-be-matched stage performances. The audience rewarded him with curtain call after curtain call after curtain call. And finally, he was able to get away, and he ran to his dressing room. He locked the door, barricaded it. And from behind the door, you could hear him yelling and ranting and hollering. And of course, this worried the producer, who went and knocked on his door, tried to get his attention. No avail. Finally, he had some stagehands come and force the door open, where he went in and he found the actor in a considerable amount of anguish. And he said, what is wrong with you? That was one of your most brilliant performances. You were great. You have never been this good. To which the now pained and pathetic-looking actor replied, yeah, I know. But what infuriates me is, I can't understand why. Well, there's no mystery to how you're able to do far more than what you ever can think possible when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit in you to do the things God has called you to do. According to Ephesians 2:10, to do the things that God has planned in advance for you to do. What is God calling you to do? To visit someone in a nursing home? To help an older neighbor run some errands? Is God calling you to teach a grandchild about Jesus? You never have to worry about having the power to do it. That's the same power that enabled Peter at Pentecost to preach a sermon that caused thousands to come forward. And on the next day, as he went into the temple to heal a crippled man, he said to the man, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazareth, get up and walk." And by golly, that man did. So eventually, Peter possessed so much power. As the story is told, people would take their sick and put them out in the streets where they knew Peter walked, hoping that just a shadow would pass over them and that the people would be healed. Amazing, right? When just weeks before, Peter had rejected Christ. And now he has that kind of power. Not a power you can purchase like Simon the Magician tried in Acts chapter 8, do. Or that you can earn. But according to John 14, 15, the only way to gain the Spirit's power is to love and obey Christ. So that's the question this morning. Do you? Would others who know you say that you're someone who loves Christ? That you're someone who's filled with the Spirit? When you accept Jesus, God gives you the gift that keeps on giving. Through the Spirit, a personal relationship with Him, an intimate personal relationship with Him. And through the Spirit, a very present helper and all the power you need to live life, to make a difference in the lives of those you love, in the lives of others. Let's pray.